What does New England sound like? If you're Maggie Holzberg, it sounds like fishermen and big dig workers, steeplejacks and Puerto Rican cuatro players. Maggie has been listening to their voices through her headphones as she travels throughout Massachusetts in her role as the state's folk arts and heritage manager. She records and documents workers whose crafts and skills have been handed down from generation to generation, but might someday disappear altogether. Maggie also occasionally visits us to share a find. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
She joins us in the studio now to tell us about what? What have you found?
We're going to hear a tradition, speaking of sounds, that's ancient. It's called change ringing, and one of the oldest towers in the country that are fitted with bells for ringing is right here in Boston.
Now, I'm trying to picture this. This isn't the people who stand at a table and pick up bells.
No, this is actually, if you picture inside of a church tower, what you see at a certain level would be ropes with very brightly colored wool tufts on them, and churches will have anywhere from 4 to 8 to 12 bells, but the rope will come down through the ceiling, and one person per bell pulling on this rope.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear how it sounds. Okay. It's so funny. Of course, we've heard the bells from outside of the church, but we were just hearing it inside.
Yeah, we were inside, and it's very loud, and you can actually feel the floor moving.
Who does this?
It's an English tradition. So everywhere that English people have settled, you'll find people that do change ringing. And one, for instance, is a guy named Don Morrison, who's in the IT computer technology industry, okay? And he learned about 26 years ago. He describes what's unique to change ringing.
Basically, each country or cultural background tends to have different ways in which they ring, you know, whatever bells they have, assuming, you know, there are bells associated with that culture. And in England, a very peculiar, almost mathematical way evolved in the 17th century. It's called change ringing. Part of it comes from the physics of the way English bells are hung. When they're actually being rung, they're what most people would think of as upside down, and they turn 360 degrees. So they start mouth upright, swing all the way around, which takes about 2 seconds, go dong once in between there, about three quarters of the way around, and then they're upside down again, and then they come back again.
So timing is important.
Yeah, timing is very important because there's a delay. He goes on to describe that delay.
But you can't play an ordinary tune. I mean, as I say, it takes about 2 seconds for the bell to go all the way around. Imagine trying to sing row, row. You know, there's no way you can play a normal tune that way. So a sort of indigenous bell music evolved called change ringing, where you ring the bells down the scale in an order, and then you change that order. But you only change a little bit. Every bell has to ring in a position adjacent to where it rang last time.
So it's complicated. It's a very complicated mathematical formula in which they change the order, and you can't ring the same order. You don't repeat it until you've gone through all the possible permutations.
Now, where did you talk to him?
First, I went to Old North Church and watched a practice, and then we came back the following day, and they ring every Sunday after services. It's called the MIT Guild of Bell Ringers.
Speaking of Old North Church, famous for a famous ride.
Right, and what's amazing about it is that Paul Revere himself was a change ringer. He learned as a teenager, and that's apparently how he knew to go up into the tower and got the idea of hanging a lantern in the window, because he was up there every week ringing.
So who did Don learn from? I mean, is this something that people are handing down?
Yeah, absolutely. And the man that's basically responsible for rejuvenating bell ringing in Boston taught Don and a number of people 26 years ago. And his name is Jeffrey Davis. He's from England. And remember when I was saying how hard it is, I mean, how complicated the ordering of the bell ringing is? I wondered, why is it so important to change the order and not repeat? So I asked Jeffrey Davies about that, and he talked about
jangle. Imagine three bells ringing randomly. Mm. Yeah? You've heard that in some Eastern churches, where the bells are just up there and the people swing on them and they just make a sort of din. Yeah? The English being the way they are, they wanted everything to sound tidy. Okay, and then there were four bells and five bells and six bells. So now we'll think about four. One, two, three, four. Let's ring that for half an hour. The people down the street get fed up with it. It sounds like an ice cream cart coming by. You know, and they just don't want to hear just one, two, three, four. So what the people decided to do was to change the order in which the bells were caused to strike. And it means four people working together to make sure that it happens the way they want it to happen.
This does sound so complicated. I'm thinking these bells can't be small. So what happens up there in one false move? Right?
Well, exactly. And they joked about, the problem is they are 400 pounds up to several tons, okay? And as one fellow told me, it doesn't take a tremendous amount of strength to make the bell ring. It's more the timing of it, because as a person described, it's like trying to play a drum by throwing a ball at it. Mm. See, there's a delay between your action and this effect of your action. Okay. So you make a mistake and several minutes later, you know, not minutes, seconds later, there's going to be a crash at the wrong time. Right. But Don Morrison, who learned from Jeff Davies, talked about how one learns to handle a bell.
Learning to handle a tower bell is easier than learning to play the violin, but it's harder than learning to drive a car. It shares a lot with like trying to drive a car, though, in that another thing, if you think about it, a ton of bell metal swinging around on the end of a rope, you can hurt yourself if you don't know what you're doing. But just like driving a car, if you're taught correctly and you know what you're doing, it's perfectly safe.
Can the average person, can I go learn how to do this?
Absolutely. And they said that you don't need any particular musical background or talent to do it. You just have an interest in it. And like to be with other people doing the same thing. And in fact, every year, new, younger bell ringers are joining this guild. And they're very welcoming, and there's a community all over the world where you find bell ringers.
It sounds like, you know, you also need some sort of math degree, because it's kind of precision. It's like a drill team or something.
Yeah, in a way, it is. I think you have to pay attention. It's also sort of trance-like when you watch it in action, which is what we got to do at the practice. You could see how the more experienced ringers were helping a younger, newer ringer.
So when you're ringing, make sure that you follow through all the way to the bottom of the strike. So you go through, down to the bottom. So you've got all the time in the world.
Bell ringers learning from the masters at the Old North Church in Boston. But how far do Americans go with this?
Well, some actually go to England to study. And one woman, in fact, who was also taught by Jeffrey Davies, is named Linda Woodford. And she not only learned to ring, she went to apprentice over there to learn how to hang bells and become a bell hanger.
That's got to be, they weigh a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a perilous trade, which she was in for a number of years and no longer does.
It's great to hear about this, but you, once again, you go up there. What was that like to be that high up in the Old North Church? Could you see out?
Actually, the louvers were closed, so we didn't see out. But what was amazing about what we were allowed to do is go up there, and I didn't bring the microphone because it would have killed the microphone. You put on these protective gear over your ears, and we got to go up there while they were being rung.
Is it like Quasimodo in Notre Dame? Isn't it like those scenes from Notre Dame with the huge bells?
Yeah, but you know what? There are, well, in this church, there are eight of them. So it's not just one. I think many churches have fewer bells. It's beautiful to see. It'd be beautiful to try to film it.
You have the best job in the world. I think, though, they would say second to a bell ringer.
Yeah. I think we'll go out with Jeffrey Davis's words about being a ringer.
I mean, it's just wonderful. Maybe they ring bells in heaven. And hell would be continuous ringing.
Hey, thanks so much, Maggie.
Thank you.
Who knows what heights, or, you know, you've also gone underground to do your work, so who knows where she will be next. Thanks so much, Maggie.
Thank you for having me.
Maggie Holzberg is the Folk Arts and Heritage Manager for the state of Massachusetts. If you know of a tradition you think the Massachusetts Cultural Council might be interested in documenting, call Maggie Holzberg at 617-727-3668. That's 617-727-3668. Or you can visit our website, here-now.org. There will also be contact information there for folklorists in Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Vermont.
Ring them bells, ye heathen, from the city that dreams. Ring them bells from the sanctuaries, across the valleys and streams, for the deep and the wide, and the world's on its side. Time is running backwards, and so is the bride.